Well, hi, everybody. This is Dr. John Hayes, and I would like to welcome everybody to today's members-only event. And today's event, I have the distinct pleasure and honor once again of having a very important discussion and conversation with my friend and partner, Dr. Michael Beck. Mike, welcome to the call.
Hi, Dr. Hayes. I appreciate you having me here to speak with some of your members, and I just appreciate the opportunity to talk more about marketing, which is something I really am passionate about.
Yes, and myself as well. Before we start, Mike, what I'd like to do is I'd like you to tell your story, because I think your story is so very, very important, not only to our members but to the profession at large, especially from the context that we're going to be talking about. Expanding your practice and as a result of expanding your practice, improving the quality of your life and your family's life from the result of your efforts.
Sure. Well, you know, my story doesn't start out too good. As a lot of people know, chiropractic can be a bit tough at times, especially if you're not given the right tools and know what you're doing. So when I came out of school, I had these great dreams of building a huge practice, and it didn't work out that way. I had no clue how to run a business, no clue how to market my services. You know, I was a great adjuster. I was fine with patients. But the problem was I just didn't have very many patients, and the ones I did have coming in didn't stay very long. And so I learned the first 2 years in practice that what I was doing was not going to work. In fact, I was pretty much at the verge of bankruptcy. I never filed, but we could have taken our stuff to the attorney and filed at any time. And the problem was that, you know, I was relying on the what they call the Mercedes 80s marketing. You might be familiar with that term, because people in the 80s, insurance coverage was really good, and you just didn't have to market that well. What little marketing you did was a business card, get your name out there. You know, that was pretty much it. Put up a sign, have a few business cards, do a few outside talks, and that was, you know, that was going to build your practice. And it really wasn't hard to do that in the 80s. But the problem is, in, you know, 2000, late 90s, 2000s, a lot of consultants were still teaching those same marketing strategies that were popular in the 80s, and they assumed that they still worked because these consultants weren't in practice, and last time they were in practice was the 80s, so they thought, hey, everything is still just like it was. The problem was it didn't work, and, you know, I was doing at one point, I believe, three or four spinal screenings a week. I was, really forcefully asking my patients to refer, telling them they had to bring their spouse in, just stuff that mm-hmm. was wearing me out mentally, not to mention, we couldn't pay the bills. So it's hard when you're barely scraping by to step up to your patient and say, hey, you better bring your family in. So it wasn't coming from the right place because of all that stress.
Right.
I decided at 2 years that something had to change, or I was going to have to change professions. And I love chiropractic, so I didn't want to change professions. I gave it one more shot. And what I did was I completely threw out all the marketing I was doing, changed my marketing, and I changed my treatment protocols. So we'll mostly focus today on the marketing aspect. But I did do some things with how I treated patients and how I went through report of findings and whatnot. But specifically with the marketing is I stopped trying to be everything to everybody. I stopped going and doing spinal screenings where everybody should come see me just because I was a chiropractor, and, mm-hmm. and that made no sense to people.
Mm-hmm.
What I started doing was focusing on the conditions that they suffered with, things like neuropathy, things like fibromyalgia, things like herniated disc, sciatica. And once I did that, it was a huge change. I started writing some of my own newspaper ads. I studied and learned how to do that. And I would run a newspaper ad, cost me $500-$700, and it would bring in $20,000-$25,000. So it didn't take too much of that before things really turned around. And, you know, within 6 months, I completely changed a practice that was almost out of business. And I'm just very thankful. I feel blessed that I was able to fall on that, stumble upon that material and learn it and take it in and use it, because if I hadn't, I probably wouldn't be talking to you today. I'd be doing something else. So,
well,
if you don't have a grasp of marketing in your practice as a chiropractor, it's really going to hurt you sooner or later.
Right, no question at all. But, you know, one of the things I admire about you the most, among several things, Mike, but the most obvious is that you stepped up to the plate, you saw a need, and you filled it. And not only did you take the information, but you obviously have a natural gift for this too, which is readily apparent in the ad copy that you write. What I'd like to do next, I think, is to, in the discussion of print media, is to talk about newspapers in particular. I think there, of course, now there's a lot of emphasis on marketing online. In fact, it certainly is one of the things that I'm on doctors all the time to make sure that their web-facing marketing is powerful and complete and so on and so forth. But the fact of the matter is that print media is far from dead. I mean, I discovered this early on with my work in neuropathy doctor. Print media is not dead. Radio is not dead. TV is not dead. The web may be expanding very rapidly, but these other media are very powerful. But today, we want to talk primarily about newspapers. So give us a little bit of the information research that you've discovered on what's up with newspapers right now.
Well, newspapers are definitely not dead. I discovered this, you know, when I changed my marketing and started running newspaper ads. They were about the only thing I could do right away and get new patients. I mean, there were other things that worked, but the newspaper always enabled me to run an ad and get new patients that week or the week following. And so I started writing, you know, more newspaper ads. Eventually, I proved that certain phrases and headlines and things worked. And then, as you said, I feel like I do have a gift of writing. I didn't realize that at the time, but later I did as I trained more and more. And, you know, I had consultants look at my stuff that do ads, and they said, wow, this is something you should put together. So I did put together that for the profession. And one of the things I noticed is that doctors really like to sort of go from one marketing thing to another.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned TV, radio, newspaper. Those things really haven't changed. I mean, what's changed is you have to be more specific with your message. But TV definitely does still work. Newspapers still work. And, you know, one of the myths that's out there is that newspapers are going out of business. And that's been around probably for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the recent recession has made it even more prevalent. A few newspapers did go out of business. But was that due to bad business, handling their business the wrong way? Or was that due to nobody's reading the newspaper? Well, I did some research a few weeks ago, and a company, the Newspaper Association of America, they did not do this research. They found it through a company called Scarborough Research. And what they found was that 100 million adults read the printed newspaper on an average weekday. So in the U.S., that's, you know, a third or so of the population is still reading the newspaper every day. 115 million people read it on Sunday. So that means, you know, for a doctor listening, a third of the people in his community are still reading the newspaper on a regular day, especially on Sunday. And that's compared to 94 million who watch the Super Bowl each year. So more people read the paper every day than actually watch the Super Bowl once a year. And American Idol, which is a popular show, that gets about 23 million viewers each week. So we have more people reading the newspaper every day. And then, of course, the local news gets about 64 million people in the U.S. Each night. And more people still read the newspaper than watch the local news on TV. So, you know, the truth is some markets have declined and some areas are depressed as a result of the recent recession. But even in those areas, this research found that in the top 50 markets for newspaper, so probably the top 50 metro areas, they found that the readership had only declined 6% in the last 5 years. And so I think with the age of Facebook and Twitter and all these things that we should be moving into, people have sort of thought, well, that's going to just replace the newspaper. And what it's done is not replace the newspaper, but added another avenue. So instead of getting rid of the newspaper ads, people should be doing both newspaper internet especially, I think those two are probably the easiest. Radio and TV are also areas that the doctor should still be in as well.
Right.
So, no, the newspaper is it's not dead. Unless your newspaper has completely gone out of business in your town, it is still very viable. In fact, probably even more viable now because less people are marketing in it due to the recession. They've pulled back their advertising budgets, especially chiropractors.
Right, you know, which of course is a story in its own and a seminar in its own. It's one of the worst business decisions one could ever make, especially in the midst of the biggest economic meltdown most of us will ever see. If anything, you've got to be spending more time, effort, and energy on marketing than ever before. But, you know, one of the things that I think is very, very important to emphasize, and this is one of the things that I discovered early on, about Neuropathy Doctor when I first put the launch together, is that using the combination of the personalized newsletters to patients and medical physicians that were hand addressed and mailed to physicians, and then using the radio ad, which has still been very powerful to us, and then the newspaper to complement it, helped tremendously. And the other issue is that you can use the newspaper ad to drive patients to more information, you know, such as for more information, you know, go to www.register@, get the free video, and so on and so forth. So there's multiple uses for the newspaper. But the biggest reason I wanted you to have my doctors hear our this conversation today is a conversation that you and I have had, and you know, I've had it with Matt and George and others of us out there that are consulting with chiropractors on a daily basis. And the fact of the matter is that the way that the ads are composed, especially the ads that you've written, the ads that I have written, they are meant to be inserted in their entirety because they're tested. And copywriting is an art. Copywriting is a science. I don't know if we want to talk about that so much, but before we do, we should talk about the importance of not changing the ads that are supplied and why that's so important.
Well, you know, you've really hit on a pet peeve of mine. You can imagine that the time and effort and money that I spent, you know, writing the ads and running them myself and having other doctors running them is quite a bit. And so
right.
To have somebody change that up and then complain that it's not working like they expected is quite frustrating. In fact, I did a lengthy blog post on that just this week on my blog about how we sometimes get questions in my business about you know, why the ad didn't work like they expected.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. I mean, copywriting is a science. Before I learned to write my own ads, I used other people's ads because I was not willing to risk it. I mean, if you're going to spend in the newspaper, you know, let's say $1,000 or $2,000 or $500 to run an ad, you don't want to just throw money out there and you know, expect to write something up. And, you know, what a lot of doctors do is let the newspaper put together a graphical ad for them with their picture and their business card and some graphics. This doesn't work. In the Mercedes 80s, it might work, but these days, it's not going to cut it. So in my ads, what I've done is I've told the story of not the doctor, but I've told the story of the patient. In other words, I want that neuropathy patient to pick up that ad and start reading it and say, that is me. That describes mm-hmm. me. This doctor knows how I'm feeling. He knows what I'm going through. Let me read some more and figure out what he's got to offer. And then I go through and talk about the research that backs up the treatment, and then I talk about the offer and how they should call and schedule. And of course, the headline, and then there's a photo, and underneath that photo is a caption. So when they look at the ad, they say, wow, look at this headline. It talks about neuropathy. That's what I got. They look over at that picture. They say, what's this about? They read underneath the picture the caption, and it just continues to draw their interest until they've read the whole thing. But, of course, the problem comes in when doctors get the ads and decide that they can improve upon it. And, you know, I guess if you've had the training, then you could maybe improve upon it. But I just don't run into too many chiropractors who spent that time and money to be a copywriter. I had a guy the other day send me an ad that he'd run, and he'd gotten some results, but he didn't get what he expected, and so I had him send it to me. And he had put his name and all his credentials his phone number, and I believe something about most insurance plans accepted. He had put that in huge letters at the bottom of the ad. I mean, almost bigger than the headline of the ad. So, of course, where are people going to be drawn to? They're going to be drawn down to that, and they're going to say, well, this is just some chiropractor. Try to get his name out there. I'm going to pass on, instead of reading the ad and finding out what it's about. So,
right.
I do recommend that doctors put their name and information in the ad, but that should not be bigger than the headline. I mean, that's people aren't looking for Dr. Joe Blow, his name in the newspaper. They're looking for a solution to their problem, and that's the first thing. Once you can prove that you have a solution, then they'll be glad to take your name and number down. But until then, your name and number means nothing to them.
Yeah, you know, very, very good point. And one comment I'd like to make, because I've seen this with the radio in my experience and the experience of other doctors, but I've also seen it in the newspaper where many, many times the doctor will give the ad to the staff, and the staff calls the newspaper rep, and they give it to the rep, and the rep says, oh, I'm just going to make a couple changes and send it back. And I've actually seen ads come back where the doctor's contact information had been removed. I was flabbergasted. So the fact of the matter is that you may think that the people at the newspapers know more than you or I, but with all due respect to them, they're there to sell space for their organization. That really is about it. It's just so important then when you use the ads that are provided by Dr. Beck and myself, that you use them as they are. Now, does that mean that there's not a call for change? No, not at all. But there are certain things to change and certain things to not. But some of the things that you may seem as trivial, if Dr. Beck and I were to take a look at, we could tell you right then and there that they're absolutely paramount to the success of the ad. And I see this all the time when I have doctors, send ads back, whether they are mine or Mike's, that have just been bastardized, usually not by the doctor, but by some well-intentioned newspaper person. So that's something I definitely want to emphasize. Let's also talk about reusing the copy, the content, Mike. Once we give doctors the license to use this content, there's a number of different ways that it can be repurposed.
Yeah, I agree that there's a ton of ways. I want to go back to your previous point, though.
Mm-hmm.
There are two ways to mess up an ad, either the doctor and his staff or the newspaper. And you're exactly right. The newspaper, not quite as frustrating as the doctor, because the newspaper, they're trying to basically replace sometimes my ads. And I have had tons of newspaper reps tell my clients to not use the ads that I've given them, the ads that they've bought from me. They say we could do something better. And you're exactly right. The purpose of that rep is to sell space. They're not
right.
a marketing consultant. If they were a marketing consultant, they'd be making a lot more money and not getting paid by the hour just to come out and sell you space. But the newspaper somewhere along the way decided that they could make more money, I guess, by doing their own design. I'm not quite sure what their benefit is now, but they really have messed. Even the ads that do get in there, they get messed up. They make the headline too small. The copy gets too big.
Mm-hmm.
The body copy is too big compared to the headline.
Mm-hmm.
Pictures get slid around. I've had newspapers say that my picture was not good, and they replaced it with a guy holding his lower back, the old back pain guy. And that's not, where my ads are going, and the picture doesn't match with the ads. So, yeah, the doctor can mess it up, and then sometimes the newspaper. It's probably more of the newspaper recommending that the doctor make changes, even when the doctor messes with it. So,
right.
Yeah, you got to watch those newspapers. I always tell people, hey, if the newspaper wants to make changes and do it their way, then they can let you run their ad for free and give you free ad space. So, in other words, you guys want to do it your way, that's fine. Design whatever ad you want from me and run it for free, and then I'll pay to run mine, and we'll see which one does better. And they usually stop bugging you after you say something like that.
Right.
So, yeah, you were mentioning remind me of your last question.
Repurposing content. In other words,
okay,
good copy is good copy.
Yes. Ways that I recommend people do this, and it's been done, is to use it on your website as a landing page. We have created a landing page for doctors where we will take a fibromyalgia ad and put the copy on there, and then ask them to either call the office or leave their email as a follow-up. That is one way. Also, you could print these and mail them out to a list. If you wanted to rent or buy a list of people in your area, you can mail them out and just trifold them, stick a stamp on there, and mail them out. Inserts in a newspaper versus an ad space. You can buy ad space, also run as inserts. You can hand these out to patients in the office to give as referrals, some type of referral stimulant. They could even be converted into radio ads. I've had a lot of questions on that, but I don't want to go into too much detail there. But you can shorten these certain sentences that I've given there and read them off as part of a radio ad. Of course, you'd have to modify it to fit the radio time slot, but it is possible to do. I've seen doctors use these just in a lot of different ways that bring in new patients. Of course, they're designed to go right in the newspaper, but yeah, you can use them just about any way you want to.
Right. So, I mean, that, of course, is another good advantage of having an entire repertoire of conditions. And I think one of the points you made in the very, very beginning about chiropractic practice in particular is very, very true, and that is how difficult and challenging it can be. And I think the fact of the matter is, as you so eloquently stated early on, unless we are doing a better job as consultants and training our doctors of the importance of condition-based marketing, I do think that doctors are going to continue to have a very, very difficult time. And, you know, this is very, very evident not only in newspaper ads that I see all the time, but all you need to do is to take a casual glance at some of the stuff that's up on the web now, too. And it's nice to have a hi, how are you video, but if you have a video that is not answering questions, if you have a video that's not interesting and it's not driving people to ask for more information, then it's really, really ineffective. And we're seeing a lot of this now with the explosion of video media. Some is done extraordinarily well, but some of it is just not done well at all. So all the basic rules that Mike and I have spoken about today really run across all the ranges of marketing. Anything else that you'd like to add to this discussion, Mike, especially as it pertains to newspaper and print media?
Well, you know, the problem with chiropractors is that we sort of think that people should just come in and all these conditions will just know that chiropractic will help them. They're just supposed to come. So, in other words, if somebody has sciatica and we say we're a chiropractor, then they automatically should know to come see us.
Right.
And really, if we market, that's all we have to market is the fact that we're a chiropractor. But that's just not the case. Even when people have been to chiropractors for years, they don't realize that a chiropractor can help them with migraine headaches or other, you know, neuropathy or other conditions that their friends and family have. And so the way of the future, the way it is right now, and it's going to get more and more like this in the future, is we have to focus on specific niches. And this is to the chiropractor's advantage because other industries have not yet caught up with this. So when you go into neuropathy, for example, you have a lot less competition when it comes to marketing. Your message is going to carry across much clearer and easier and less expensively because there's just not a lot of competition. Now that's going to change, but
yes.
If you're one of the first people, you know, if you're one of the first people in your area, then you're going to have an advantage over other chiropractors or hospitals or medical doctors doing that. And the same goes for other conditions like fibromyalgia, herniated disc, things like that, migraine headaches. The patient wants to know how you can help them. They'll be glad to learn what you have to offer and what chiropractic is when they come in and what kind of treatments and therapies that you have to offer. But until you can convince them that you can even help them, they don't really care about those other things. I mean, you can talk all day about BJ and D.D. Palmer, but until they realize that, hey, this doctor might be able to help me with my problem, you know, they just don't care about that stuff yet. So We have to sort of look at where the patient's at. That doesn't mean that we necessarily have to say, well, you know, all we do treat is neuropathy. I mean, if you want to have a neuropathy-only practice, that probably wouldn't be a bad idea in some areas of the world. But that doesn't mean you have to stick with just one niche. But when you're talking to a patient, you need to be focused on what their problem is. When you're marketing in an ad in the paper, you can't market to 20 conditions at once. You market this week, you market to a certain condition. Next week, you market to a certain condition. And then that also gives you the advantage of constantly having streams of different types of new patients coming into your office.
Exactly. Yeah, no, very, 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 very important point, doctors. I hope you've listened very carefully to that. You know, one other thing, Mike, that I definitely want to say that I admire most about your ads is that they accomplish something very, very critical. And I've looked at all your ads for the various conditions. But what they do, doctors, is a very, very powerful, powerful psychological trigger, and that is that they actually allow the patient to enter and engage in the same conversation that they're already having in their mind. For example, if a patient is suffering from a herniated disc, you read Mike's ad, and it just, you were just drawn in because that is you. And the same thing, of course, has been with the neuropathy ad and the astounding results that we've seen with those too, simply because you are entering the conversation that the patient is already having in their mind. And, you know, I discovered this very, very early on in practice, and it was, certainly was a reawakening for me when I wrote our original neuropathy ads, when we basically tell doctors and we tell patients, you know, treating neuropathy can be very frustrating for patients and doctors alike. Up until now, it's been very difficult. The good news is blah, blah, blah. But it's very important that you understand that this is one of the major reasons that we advocate that you do not change the copy in any way, shape, or form, because it is written with that in mind, and it is an art and it's a science.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that. In the 1920s, there was a guy, Robert Collier, who developed that phrase, enter into the conversation mm-hmm. that's going on in the prospect's mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that it's been around almost 100 years,
right.
But we're still not applying it like we should in marketing. I think they did until the rise of new media in the 1950s, and as they started changing the way they did things.
Right.
But now we've come full circle back around to, we have to not force our what we think that they're thinking on the prospects, but we need to enter what's already going on in their head. It's much easier to get a new patient who's already convinced that they need help than it is to convince somebody who doesn't think they need help that they should come in and see you. So why not enter into the people who are already worried about neuropathy and thinking about neuropathy and have an ad come up in front of them that talks about neuropathy than it is to do it backwards and then try and, you know, convince people they should come see you just because. They already have a reason, so work with that.
Right.
And that is very important that we enter into the conversation. And that's what I've tried to do with the first column in my ads. It's usually three or four columns. The first column or two is talking about what is going on in the patient's mind. It's called empathy, where you go in and you feel for that patient. So it sounds like the doctor's writing the ad.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel for the patient. And the patient, in turn, as they read it, they feel that you feel for them. So there's some empathy going on there. You build some rapport. I've had people come in and tell me that I feel like I know you, doctor, because, you know, you talked to me in this ad just like if I was here in person. I
Right.
feel like I already know a lot about you. And that's nice to hear those types of things when patients already have this ideal in their head when they come in that you're the doctor for them. They're already convinced. It's just a matter of going through the process of the exam and consultation.
Exactly. You know, one other comment before we let our doctors know how they can learn more. Something I've done, Mike, and I'm sure you have done too, as you learn and study copywriting, if you go back, and I know you've done this, and I've done it for several years, you go back and look at some of the newspaper ads that were written in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, that was the only medium that those writers had to convey. There was no TV, there was no video, there was no Twitter or Facebook to back it up. And you read the verbiage, you look at the headlines, you look at the offers, and those were very, very powerful and very eloquently written. That's some very, very interesting opportunities there for you, Doctor, if you have an interest in this, especially as it pertains to, you know, identifying how you fit into your market, is to go back and take a look at some of the ad copy that was written in newspapers in particular in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and that is probably a lifetime of education right there in and of itself. So with that said, Mike, I do want to tell all the members on the call that Jess is going to be mailing to all our members, members only, a very, very special offer this afternoon. So the members that don't currently own your materials can get them. What else should we say?
Well, you know, I think you bring an important point up. They had it figured out in the early 1900s because they didn't have TV, they didn't have radio. Some of the books that I've studied are like Robert Collier's letters. There's also people in the past like David Ogilvy, mm-hmm. who wrote the famous Mercedes ad. I think it was Mercedes. And he also, another Caples, John Caples, mm-hmm. is famous, tested advertising methods. He was really good at coming up with headlines. You've got the older guys like Hopkins, who really invented scientific advertising, which is what my ads are about. You might have heard the term direct response advertising or scientific advertising, and that is where you run an ad and you measure your response within the first week or two. It's not brand marketing where you put your name out there for the next 20 years and hope and pray that somebody's going to come in. It's run an ad this week and get new patients this week, which is what we need to be doing, and hold that ad accountable to produce new patients.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's maybe where the newspaper wants to design their own ads, is they might try and convince you, hey, you need to run this pretty ad for the next 6 years in our newspaper, and maybe you'll get some new patients out of it. Well, that's not what I subscribe to. I mean, you run my ads, I expect that you're going to get new patients right away. If you don't, and something probably went wrong, and we need to talk about what that is. But for the most part, doctors run it, and they get new patients that week. So, yeah, that's an important thing to mention. And also, don't miss out on the opportunity to get referrals from the new patients that come in. I know that you talk a lot about referrals, Dr. Hayes, and mm-hmm. I think that that's important. These people who come in from these newspaper ads many times will turn around and refer to you if given the opportunity. So inside my ad kit, I included the referral letters that I've developed and written, and I send those out as soon as a new patient starts care in the office, and then we can turn around and usually get a family member referred in right away. And it's indirect, so I don't have to approach the patient and talk to them about it because they're going to get a letter that first week, and it's really nice and a nice offer for their spouse or friends or loved ones to come in. So don't miss out on that, and that is an included bonus in the ad kit.
Very good. Well, as I said a moment ago, doctors, you will be receiving an email from Jess. If you happen to be listening to this replay and you missed that opportunity, we will make sure that it gets posted in members only for you as well. And it, as always, if you do have any questions, just send us a fax on letterhead, and we'd be more than happy to answer that for you. Well, Mike, once again, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you on the call. I hope that every doctor on the call today does place on their desk first and then in their mind and then ultimately on their bookshelf for reference your kit. And with that said, I'd like to thank you once again for taking time out of your busy day to be with us.
Hey, I appreciate you having me, and I really enjoy talking about marketing and how it can really help these doctors not get in the situation that I was once in and help them grow the practice that they've always dreamed about having.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, once again, thank you. Have a good afternoon. And ladies and gentlemen, as always, it's a pleasure and honor to be with you, and we'll talk to you very soon. Have a good day.